welcome to today's episode where I talk about nerdy voice actors that does a wonderful season so far of The Legend of Vox Machina Season 2. This is your episode recap of episodes 7 through 9, and wow, we are almost a fourth away of completion of the season. There is just 12 episodes in this season, and we've already gotten through 9. So, hey, that's something to look forward to. Also, just a bit of a recap. We are definitely in the last remaining times for two of the live watch parties for this season. So, hopefully, this one will end as it always does, with a wonderful like cliffhanger in the campaign. But let's go ahead and get started with episodes 7 through 9. 7 being the Pharaoh. Last time we seen our heroes, Keyleth was kind of worried about the cat, the spell she cast that was disrupted by Umbrasil from the last battle over in Rimcliff. So, of course, as much as they would love to worry about where Grog, Scanlan, and Pike is, they know that they have a job to do, and they would literally find themselves into the Fey Realm. Now, sadly, this place is not as normal as Tal'Dorei in this area, but it is very questionable on how dangerous a woodenly creature of this magnitude is, because believe it or not, and this is actually a scene in there, that there's a wonderful little wonderful bird. He's flying around, all of a sudden gets attacked and unalive by plants. A little shop of horrors, if I have to say so. So as the group is finding around where the area is, what they're doing, only Perseus finds himself being excited because he read all texts and books about how the Fae Realm has some different oddities inside of its own realm. So it's like very weird. And Percy, being of a expert of this, he becomes immediate the guide of the whole thing. They enter in what it's called the Awakened Grove, which is basically vines being like swaying in the breeze, and the only way you can get through it is if you have pleasant thoughts or positive feels, positive vibes throughout. Vexildan, on the other hand, finds very skeptic, and he gets himself attacked by it. Of course, you know, chaos ensues. Pretty much they did survive the attack from the Grove, but from a distance away from them, they're being followed by something or someone. Speak about our wonderful trio, Grog, Scanlan, and Pike. They find themselves in a mountain range away. This is immediately right after Grog stab Pike with Craven Edge, which she is slowly healing her wounds, but weirdly enough, there is a stream from where her struck from goes to the sword itself. It's like it snaked its way to it, and Scanlan noticed that it right away, which he knows that the sword's evil, it's very wrong, and Grog holding on to it like a child with a stuffed animal. But even so, Grog is not letting go of this ability, and despite on hearing his friends in the distance, the sword's Craven Edge's hold on Grog is more stronger than his friends, and he's literally like seeing something that it needs to be satiation. It needs to be satisfied with its craving for the time being, until the next danger or the next attack for them. But he is reminded that after seeing that the sword did its damage to Pike, Grog really felt the need that he needs to let go of this. So he literally stroked Cravenage left and right with boulders, piles of rocks, and then dig it into like this cliffside stone, where he literally like bends it and snapping it in half. However, just without consequences, the Grog let out its bloodletting, which is basically it spurts out on him from all the battles that not only that Grog did, but also possibility of what it had accumulated over the years. Well, it being with Silas Briarwood. Back to the Fey realm. Our group is keep moseying on, keep on its journey. But Traxeldan has always been plagued about his passing, which is his unalive faced. Of course, that this gives Vexalia a reason that she's feeling, because she is a tracker of sorts. So she really has this feeling that, hey, there is something that is following us, and something's like crazy. Of course, there will be like this fawn-like creature who's recording on his book and literally being captured by Vexalia in this process. Back to the trio, which is Grog, Scanlan, Fike, they awaken him, but notices a huge change of his appearance that is now his scrawny side, if you will. So he's no longer big and muscly, he's thin and small. Which that shouldn't be a problem, because Pike knows that there's a way to restore Grog's physique, but they need to travel to a location. So, of course, this goes back to the Fae. We basically go back and forth between the Fae realm and Tal'Dorei with the two groups. The fawn that Vexalia captured is Gamili, who is voiced by Billy Boyd. For those who are not familiar with his work, Billy Boyd is the fine gentleman who also, with Don McMonaghan, have this wonderful podcast. He is 1/4 of the Hobbit group from Lord of the Rings. And also, Billy Boyd also is the voice of Glenda from the Seat of Chucky, as well as reprising his role yet again in Chucky Season 2. So, just a bit of a heads up, he is a wonderful person to have met. So, of course, recordings that he did, I would call that expressive art in so many forms. So, if you are going to look at that episode, be aware it's not for the likes of children. So, sorry, kids, this is not your everyday Saturday morning cartoons for that one. So, of course, as we are seeing that the people in our group in the Fae Realm is doing well, our trio are traveling along, and definitely with Pike and Scanlan kind of singing along the way, which is a wonderful, like, a traveling folk song to, like, bring up Grog, and Grog is literally down on the dumps and all that. But the moment that they stop, you know, Grog is being helped by Scanlan, which kind of gives like this whole brotherly helpful tip from him. So he is being served and, well, helped on, which, you know, Pike noticing a lot of big things differently with Scanlan, that his demeanor changed from where they were, where they're from. It was like literally she's seeing him in a different light. And of course, you know, Scanlan's like, you know, doing the whole thing. He did his charm with Pike, which kind of like makes her think otherwise. But also, this leaves Grog defenseless against ironically birds. And Scanlan does come to his aid with Pike, and the Resistance kind of laughing that it's kind of cute to see. Back in the realm, Gamilli has escorted these people to, sadly, to battle a gelatinous creature. Ironically, this creature is a blob of sorts, so it's definitely like part of the D&D lore with that. Of course, the attacks are becoming futile because each attack, it kind of melts away a portion of the attack. Like if Vexalia shoots an arrow, it pretty much, you know, melts away a little. However, in one of her attacks, she actually comes into contact of a spore cloud that the creature has inside of it. This ironically triggers an hallucinogenic compound inside of it, causing her and Keyleth, both on contact, having a psychedelic trip, with Trinket being voiced by none other than Cheech Marin himself. Cheech Marin, born of East LA, a fine duo with Tommy Chong, Nash Bridges, next to Uncle Machete in the Spy Kids movie. Basically, this fine gentleman is a wonderful comic on his own, and there are so many other films that has him, you know, being of a expert of psychedelics. Sadly, with the blob attacking not only the group, but it's more focused on Vexalan, he noticed while it's being liquefied that he sees the face of the Matron of Ravens appeared in this, like, reflection form. So, of course, Percy helps Vexalan by getting rid of this creature by using a device in his hand called Diplomacy, which, of course, this is definitely a D&D trope where the hand that he kind of blew a hole in is the same hand that he used with against the creature. So there is some properties of all this. So, of course, with the danger being, you know, disarm, basically Percy's like wondering that why is it coming after only Vex? Like, it's literally going after him, and he knows that this is something that he has to do on his own because he has this feeling that he's being thrown away from the path of his friends. He's like literally leaving the group slowly. But at the same time, Percy understands that if there's any trouble, he could just try his best to come across with this whole situation and work together with him on this one. As Percy and Vex is having a heart-to-heart talk, Vexalia and Keyleth regain some of their conscience, just to be aware that Gamilli is, like, nearby, and knowing that they seek this Vestasil bow that is in the realm, but however, he needs to guide him to it. It's the only way. Elsewhere, the Coma Conclave is discussing via a crystal orb between them about the Vestasils that Omviso can find with the sword Mythcarver. Thordak understands that the items that he is obtaining can be found by Umbasil doing this whole thing, but Thordak only wishes to receive riches instead of trinkets. This entails to have Ellen Ripley comes out from the shadows as she kind of influenced Umbasil of seeking these vestiges for some gain in power. Back to our trio. We find ourselves at a cottage area where Grog could get help in this area, which kind of helps the whole purpose of why they had to travel. And hopefully, with Pike promising that there would be things that come back to, you know, to normal for them, things will happen to find the rest of the Vestiges. Gimli, sadly, he had led a path towards the Shade Mark, only to discover that there's a city between their prime target to where they're at. Sadly and weirdly, both Vax Sildan and Vexelia know of the city personally, because it's Sangorn, a place where, and sadly, their father resides. Oh, that one episode alone was like up, down, all around, and literally feel yourself on the trip of the Fae realm. Jumping into the next episode, which is the Echo Tree, or Echo Tree in the title. So, the city of Sangorn is a popular place for elven people. Of course, this is only when we learn from the twins, Vexildan and Vexelia, that if the city was ever in danger, it will be transported by the arcane elves that they have in their city at a moment's notice. Meaning that since the destruction in Imaan happened, the city literally fell into a state of emergency, which got transported into the Fae realm. Luckily, this is being known to be a safety guide, so that's something to understand. So, guided by Gimli, the group has to travel through the city in order for him to get to the Shade Mark, only to find that the areas that they're passing through is high alert by the guards of Sangorn. Sadly, they get stopped by them, but without hesitation, the twins announce to see the ambassador, Star, which happens to be their father. At the home, they find themselves waiting in the studies of their father. Percival is noticing the fine craftsmanship of the structure, which brings them to question of how the twins are of nobility. Only greeted by Divania, who is voiced by Tonks Ogodea. Her character happens to be their stepmother, or at least their mother, in a way. But only to be found that they will be meeting their little sister, Viloa Rora, who happens to be their father's youngest child, and their little sister, who's voiced by Jayla Lavender Nicholas. She is actually a new actress who's in the acting world. So just bear with the notations of this, only to be somewhat interrupted by their father, who greets their presence by their father, Sheador, who's voiced by none other than Troy Baker himself, the grandioso of his voice. Elsewhere, our trio, which is Pike, Grog, and Scanlan, approach a home in the forest, only to discover that it is actually home to Wilhelm Trickfoot, happens to be Pike's great-great-grandfather, as well as Grog's. But they only know him as, you know, Pop-Pop. So, after Wilhelm sees Grog's physical shape, he realizes something is definitely wrong and brings them all in for not only safety, but to see how they can fix Grog as it is. Back into the Fae realm, news of Sangorn escaping the fate of Imaan being of the structure, of course, transported to another realm, to only to gather the strength and force to come back with more of a salt. Hearing about it, they're kind of pleased, but also pleading with Visar to lend help or give him some sort of guide, so to speak, on many things. So definitely, Seldor is wondering, like, who's this other gentleman that's speaking for them? And I kid you not, I actually did remember seeing this in the entire season, and this is only the second time we are seeing Percival using his title, which is Percival Frederick Stein von Musel Kowalski the Laurel III of the Royal House of Whitestone, which is his proper given title, which is his royalty line, which is fine, fascinating, and literally changes demeanor on how he respects royalty among other people. Of course, hearing of the item that they're seeking, he's basically saying that it's a folklore myth to try to track down. But even so, this does not amuse Vax, because he is still being, you know, very, very, very mad and structured about Bizarre, which these two are literally at toe's end. But even so, thanks to Vaxelia, she thanks him for the time and can lend any hand, only to stop that, like, tension between them, you know? Wilhelm Trickfoot, as we're getting back to, is putting together an herb and making sure that this might be a way to get Grog's muscles back. The voice actor of this one is none other than the great talented Henley Winkler himself. His filmology deals with him being the Fonz, or Fonzarelli, from the Happy Days series, as well as countless other movies. Most recently is Black Adam, playing the original Atom Smasher in the Justice Society of America. Back to the story. The way that Grog is supposed to be taking this remedy is of the backside matter, which is a suppository. Just to lend a hand on that one. So that is pretty, like, hopefully glad to be, like, a side-by-side view with Pike right in front of it. So it's not too much of a visual. Back to the Fae Realm. They're about to embark on going into here, and sure enough, that Saldor gives him this, like, parchment to tell that, hey, in order for you to have saved guidance, here it is, but after that, that's strictly on your own. However, when Percival reviews this parchment, he wants to make one enemy about the title for Vaxelia, which this gives our campaign nod to the episode that Percival is literally now give Vaxelia her title, which is Lady Vaxelia, Baroness of the Third House of the Whitestone, and Grand Mistress of the Grey Hunt. Which, in a way, it's like a snarky remark to her father that, hey, she earned this title, you should really honor it. And despite on how Shador feels that it's just a waste of time just to do a silly remark on changing just a silly thing, because he doesn't feel the need to rescind any markup, which sends Vaxelia the disrespects he noticed that had quite enough, and she is not, you know, taking it any more further than it is. But even so, Shador Saldor to realize that if he sees the bow in her hand, she will get the proper welcome that they believe they deserve. And so, yeah, I mean, this is a great big a one-up on against father and daughter in this whole moment. As they depart and enter part of the forest area, of course, Percy and Vaxelia are having themselves a respectful moment of realizing why she feels the way she feels towards her dad, as well as many other things. However, Percival also present her with a gift, which is a spearhead with prongs in it, which kind of helps her out on many things, as well as helping her out with anything that deals with bow. Of course, the part of where they travel to, it becomes darker. It's more of a decreased movement for it, as a way of saying that, hey, we're entering this part of the We're entering this part of Shademark, only to discover that Shademark has this cursed archfey named Sandor as its bearer, which is basically, a person of power holding this wieldable weapon. That character is actually voiced by Sahil Ramaruti. Do apologize, but I know him from being in Heroes as one of the characters. He also played another character in the Flash series, being Bloodwork. This fine gentleman's phonology is phenomenal, so it's kind of hard to like pronounce his name, but it is Sahil. So it is easy to find. Despite on having a crazy dream that Grog realizing he still is weak from the effects of Craven Edge, Wilhelm knows that the corruption that Grog has went through is finally cured, but the stress, the strength that he resides on him having been bulky and all that resides elsewhere, so it has to be awakened by other means in order for him to regain his full strength. Back in the realm, the group has reached Shademark, but it's Shademark Bog, where the bow lies with many things. But even so, thanks to a thrall that Vexalia feels, she is being summoned by Sandor, which makes her want to have belonging and acceptance. And realizing that if she succumbs to Sandor's thrall, she will basically lose out on whatever it is. But this kind of kicks her into realization that all he have to promise her was her heart. And her heart, and believe it or not, this is actually part of the scene right here that it's like, kind of like, oh boy. She realized that her heart belongs with someone else. So she basically dissed Sandor. And now they're having themselves a little bit of fight, which blocking away from the other group against the creatures, the tree-like creatures that they had to battle. So, of course, going back and forth on who's winning and who, Keyleth was able to summon her fire avatar form, which is the giant flame, and able to dispatch the wood creatures that reside within the boundaries. However, only Sandor gives the upper hand by not only getting rid of Vexalia's arrows while she was jumping away and cutting the strap, but her bow, the moment that she lands, it's broken apart. Helpless against Sandor holding against her, it is but a twist of a sleight of hand that she had to present Percy's gift into Sandor's being. By defeating Sandor and acquiring Fentress, now they have the means of, they have the means of defeating the next set of dragons, or at least the dragons of this, with this vestige bow. Almost towards Sangor, pretty much reveals himself once more to only open a portal to Tal'Dorei upon them leaving, because they really seem that they notice a, distance between books and the actual realm, that they feel that they need to leave the realm better. But Girmili is of a trickster of sorts, so he transformed into someone that some of us are very familiar in the second campaign, to only find out that, hey, it's been him this entire time. So, back to Trickfoot's. Grog's strength is slowly getting back to him. He's literally putting himself together with all this and that, only to discover that they need to go to restroom. The moment that both Scanlan and Pike has to remind Grog about the vessel that's inside of it, Grog knows who actually is in restroom wearing the vestments, which happens to be his uncle. That, and also that the man actually unalived him at the end of that episode. bringing us to episode 9, A Test of Pride. We open up to a small village where farmers and gnomes and everyone else is raising family, only to discover that the Horde is attacking the village, laying waste and plundering in name of the group. This is literally Grog's origin story of how he used to be. Of course, now we're in a desolate town of Westrum that Grog, Scanlan, and Pike are, noticing that in the vision that he took from Mythcarver, the gauntlets are the vegetables that he needs to get, but it's in his uncle's hands. They also witness a person who couldn't pay their debt, so by releasing him, they played a strange game that is very familiar for us, which is Boulder, Parchment, and Shears, or Shears, which sadly, it's rock, paper, scissors for the understanding. But even so, it doesn't go so well to recall that his uncle is insanely strong and wearing them all the time. They're basically stone clappers, according to Grog, who is voiced by Ralph Ineson. We should know his filmology a little, because his work is in The Northman. He plays the villain. I believe he was also in Game of Thrones, but I'm just carrying on that a little. So Cavdak is Grog's uncle. Just a bit of a tip. So, devising of a plan of getting in, Scanlan disguised himself as a Dragonfly to scout ahead, leaving Grog and Pike to dwell more of his backstory, which only up until he met Pike's great-great-grandfather. That's when he realized that, hey, this is because of who changed me and all that. And it is a wonderful throwback of how Grog used to be to somewhere he is. Sadly, Scanlan's ability kind of wore off until he came across a Horde group discussing how to relieve the leader of his position, which we are greeted by Abu Baker Sinlam. He is a voice actor who voiced Zandor. And we know him by his voice work on Assassin's Creed Origins, as well as his in-person physiology in Raised by Wolves. Of course, by hiding away from this group, Scanlan finds villagers hiding in the same area, which is definitely something to consider, that these are people who's trying to avoid problems and painstaking issues. Of course, this is more into Grog's backstory, that Will had been saved by Grog only to get chased down by Cavdak, and to find a way to get into retribution of the escape person. This not only angers Cavdak, this actually almost ends Grog's existence. But if it wasn't for Wilhand's return with help, Grog wouldn't be with Pike, and he wouldn't be with the Trickwood family. As Umbrasil shows up where Scanlan is with the refugees that he's so happened to come across, he understands that the situation is dire, because he now noticed that Ambaso is in the town frame. Ironically, he did not know that Ripley was also along with him. Now, by gathering the offerings to the dragons pretty much gave Cavdak a few days to gather more, or there will be a price to pay, which gives Zaor the chance to defy his father, which Cavdak literally decks out his own kid to stop Mini right there and happening. Along the way, after seeing the dragon fleeing, Pike and Grog realizing that Skin hasn't made their way back, so in order for him to get past the horde's defenses by pretending to be a horde member himself, capturing an unalive gnome thief, which is Pike. By entering, Scanlan was actually devising a way to escort the villagers, as well as the musical group travelers, to out of the area by musical means, which is a flute. Happenstance is that they ran into Grog and Pike, so they were able to find a safe area to lead them all out. Only until that Grog's realizing that people like him are being feared by their stature and abilities, that he should feel that that should be changing soon. So as the rest of the group leaves, Pike and Scanlan are trying to reason with Grog that this is a one-way ticket. This is something that Grog should not be doing. But in order for Grog to realize, in order for it to happen, it has to be this way. It has to be on his own terms to literally rally up against his uncle. As speaking of rallying up, Kevdak rallies his troops to tell him that they're fine to do whatever they want to do, but questioning how his leadership was literally a combat by trial, so anyone can challenge him for his leadership roles and all that. Only up until that no one answers Kevdak, knowing that he's crushed his mutiny, stands in the far distance behind him is Grog Strongjaw himself, given the determination in his eyes to knowing that he has the chance to take down his uncle. And that leads us on the end of episode 9, which that was a wonderful cliffhanger to go with. I do thank you for listening this episode. I do apologize if there's some description of the audio or whatever. But I do apologize because I got a lot to do on many things. A lot of episodes to write and talk. So definitely I am trying to get you as best as I can, as much as I can. Until the next episode. And I do greatly appreciate you listening to this episode. You be safe out there. You be good. And as always, whatever time of day you're listening to, I hope you're doing well. Until the next episode, see ya. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode. Man, what a whirlwind of things happening. One, you can visit my Anchor page at anchor.fm/edcast20, where you can listen to my podcast in seven different podcasts. Spotify being one, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, where you can listen to not only the latest episodes, but some previous episodes as well. I also have, and believe it or not, a blog page now, edwardsreview2.wordpress.com. That is Edwards Review, all in one word, with the number 2, dot WordPress, WordPress.com, where you can read my blog postings as well as the latest episodes that I've been posting on there. Both these sites are amazing, and I do thank for not only the sponsors that helped me out put this together, but also thank you guys for reading and watching this stuff, or kind of listening to this stuff. I haven't done any video yet. So yeah, for anchor.fm at Cast 20 is my anchor page, as well as edwardsreview2.wordpress.com for the blog posting. Thanks for visiting. See ya.